Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Boys and girls, this is going to be a special Hard Rockin' Trivia Show because the death of Edward Van Halen, somebody that was very near and dear to a lot of people our age. So we wanted to do a whole show about him and his band and some of the shows we went to. We're going to do a rapid fire, and I'm going to throw in some unreleased songs as well because I don't think they're copyrighted because they're unreleased, right? I don't think we can get away. We're not going to play the whole song, but we'll play. I figured I have some snippets of stuff they could play. Maybe Danny hasn't heard yet.
Yeah, there's some snippets of songs that, you know, they say they were demos back before their first album, but then they don't show up until like Diver Down or Fair Warning or something. It's like, man, you don't realize that these guys may have these songs for years and years just in the can somewhere. And they, you know, to me, it always seems like, oh, let's go in and write a record and everything is going to be like what you wrote right then. But then, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, these guys archived everything. I mean, yeah, on A Different Kind of Truth, She's a Woman. I had the demo for that, and that demo was like from like 76. Yeah, a lot of stuff that, yeah, like Diver Down and even Fair Warning, there was snippets of that on different songs, and sometimes they took a couple of songs and spliced them together and made new songs. But Steve Lukather said years ago, it says he's buddies with Edward, and he said there is a vault of music in 5150 that they've never released. They probably have them guys just jamming. putting down song ideas, and all this stuff has no vocals on it whatsoever. Hopefully, that stuff will get released. And, you know, have Dave or Sammy or even, you know, Gary Cherone throw some vocals on that stuff. Let's hear that stuff.
I wouldn't care if there's vocals or not. Just hearing the band riffing and jamming. It'd be great.
I mean, I think with Wolfie and the, you know, Uncle Al and Eddie, they jammed for years.
But let's hear that. Come on, Wolfie, get on it.
Gary Cherone said they recorded a second album, which was sounded more like Van Halen, was less experimental, but that's never been released either. I would love to hear that stuff.
I have been listening to the Van Halen tribute channel on Sirius, channel 27, in case you don't know.
Yeah.
But I heard How Many Say I today, and it's just as bad as ever. So awful. I mean, not everything they wrote was a gem, but, you know, that is particularly bad.
I agree with you. That How Many Say I is awful. Yeah, I think Gary Cherone said, hey, Eddie, why don't you sing that? Okay, I'll try that out. Oof.
How Many Say I.
It's a bad song and a bad vocal.
Yeah, I mean, the piano is great. The piano playing, top-notch, of course, but, you know, the vocals and the song itself, just no thanks.
Yeah, but we're not here to crap all over Eddie Van Halen singing, okay? We're huge fans, and he made a huge impact on us and millions of people in our same age bracket. My kids, I told them, oh, Eddie Van Halen died. Like, who? Who's that? Like,
oh my God.
You got to be kidding me.
I just happened to be on Twitter, and I saw Wolfie's post 3 minutes after he posted it, and I thought it was a joke. Eddie's never going to die. What are you kidding? He's not even sick. Last time I talked to him, he wasn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And I just thought, oh, my God.
Well, we knew that he was going over to Germany to get some treatments because he had the tongue cancer before.
Yeah.
I guess it came back and it spread all the way to his brain. And I think the last picture I saw was probably like a week and a half prior. And he saw a picture of Eddie and he was bloated. And I think, oh, no, man. He's on some kind of steroid because I've seen what that does to you. It puts weight, makes your face all puffy, and, oh, this is not good. And then the first Van Halen bass player died, Mike Stone.
Yeah.
About a week prior. I'm like, oh, man. So we heard all these stories about him, and I see this picture of Eddie. I'm like, uh-oh, this is not good. And then you send me a text. I'm like, oh, crap.
I remember I sent you a text, and did you hear Eddie Van Halen died today? And you just text back, what?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how else to say that.
Yeah. Already going through life stuff with my, you know, my family and my wife's family members, all, you know, dealing with all that stuff. And so the last thing I want to hear is, oh, Eddie Van Halen passed away. Like, oh, terrific. Oh, could this year get any worse?
I mean, he is absolutely in my top five guitar players, either number one or number two. It's hard to say, but.
Yep. He's my top two.
It killed me.
Gary Moore. Eddie Van Halen.
Yep. Those are my top five. I'd say Steve Lukather, Nuno Bettencourt, maybe, I don't know. Jeez, there's so many.
Yeah, the extreme guys are all posting. Three of the four I saw posted. Pat Badger, yeah. The bass player, posted a picture of him sitting in a car with Eddie Van Halen. And in 5150 holding his, you know, famous guitar. Oh, you can see that. Oh. And Nuno said some nice stuff, and Gary, so.
It's unbelievable, all the pictures that came out with people with Eddie. Just about every band you could think of.
Oh,
every one of them had a picture with either Eddie or the Van Halen themselves, or there's nobody he didn't touch in that world.
So let's go back in time and for us. I remember the first time I saw a Van Halen record, I was in West Germany, Kaiserslautern. You know, I went in every week, checked out the new albums that came out. I saw this album cover. I bought it sight unseen without even hearing it. I did this with, Ted Nugent, Cat Scratch Fever, something Judas Priest, something cool looking. I saw this. Wow, this looks cool. I'm buying this. Took it home, boom, the bass hits you first from Running with the Devil.
Running with the Devil comes on, you're like, holy.
Oh, like, what, 35 to 40 minutes later, I think all the hair in my head was on fire. ending with On Fire, like, oh, I think I played that thing like 10 times that day. It's like, oh, I can't believe how great this is.
Hooked. I have the vinyl album of that. I still have it. It's downstairs, and I found it, and you can see in the cover, if you look at the right angle, I used to do my elementary school math homework on that, and you can see the problems kind of embedded in there where I was writing on a paper on that album cover as I listened to it. It's like, man.
That's pretty cool.
That was probably, what, sixth grade maybe?
And now look at you now using all that, those math skills you learned by listening to Van Halen. So Van Halen got your career for you. Wow.
They honed my math skills.
That's too funny. So let's go into some of the shows we saw. I think I saw them first because I was in Germany. I was 14 years old. It was June 18th, 1979, and it was the Van Halen 2 tour, their first European headlining tour. The year before, they opened for Black Sabbath over there and blew them off the stage. So they came back, and me and some buddies, I can't believe my parents let me, I wouldn't know if I would let my kids do this, but my parents let me take a bus with a bunch of high school kids and American soldiers, and we went about 80, 90 miles to Frankfurt, Germany, and they dropped us off, we went to the show, went home. The opening band was Saint Paradise. Remember them?
You've talked about them in previous shows, and I don't know anything about them, but it sounded like a cool band.
Yeah, it was with Derek St. Holmes and other members. I think Denny Carmassi. I think he was the drummer. And the bass player was from Ted Nugent's Cat Scratch Fever band. So, but of course, we didn't know this at the time. They were pretty good, and they played Live It Up. Like, wow, that sounds exactly like Ted Nugent's. It's the same guy singing, and they re-recorded it. But they were pretty good, so they stopped. I think this place is called the Offenbach Stadthalle. I think it's probably about 3,000 people. I mean, it's all Germans, American soldiers, and, you know, American high school kids. So in between bands, you know, we're all waiting around. We're all psyched and pumped. All of a sudden, you hear these little guitar tones and little dive bombs.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, ooh. About a minute later, you hear something else. He does a squeal. Everybody's going, ooh. He does this for about 5 minutes. He'll make a little noise and not playing. Everybody's really pumped, and every time he does it, the crowd gets louder and louder and louder until the band hits the stage, and we lost our minds. We went apeshit. They were so good. I think it had forever changed my life seeing, as a 14-year-old, seeing this on stage, the power, how everybody was totally into it, the brotherhood of all the people there, you know, multiple people from multiple countries there. We were just, I was hooked on that particular day.
I can't imagine the energy.
Oh, if I had a toupee, it would have been blown off. Amazing. From, you know, 79, then I moved over to Springfield, Virginia, is where you and I were next door neighbors.
Yeah.
And I was doing some research, and I think the, I don't know if we went to see, it's fuzzy, some of these shows of who I went with, because every time we went to a show from Springfield, you know, if we went to the Cap Center, it was not just one or two of us. It usually could be three or four or five of us sometimes.
Well, we lived on a court.
Yeah.
With, there were 19 boys, all school age. It could have been two of us going or 10 of us. Whoever happened to be into whatever band was going, was playing that night.
Right.
We'd have either one or two cars, or everybody piled into David Beck's car and took our lives in our hands to get there.
True.
But yeah, we would. I know that I was at that next show in the Cap Center.
Here's the, after doing some research online, it was said June 28th, 29th, or 30th, 1981, Fair Warning Tour. I vaguely remember this, and I remembered it because the opening band was called The Fools.
Yep.
So I think you and I went, and I think Griff Harrison went, but I don't remember who else went.
I don't know who else either. I know it was the Fair Warning Tour because if you look on the back of Diver Down and you see the pictures, that's the pictures from the previous tour, which I vividly remember him. I remember that stage perfectly, and I remember him sitting up because all the speakers at the back of the stage were set up like a tier, like different tiers.
Right.
And he had the computer or the synthesizer that he played one foot out the door up on there, and that's where he would like play that, sitting on these speakers with the little the synthesizer wasn't on a stand or anything. It was just sitting on top of these cabinets. And he was banging on it, making the sound do what it was doing. It was such an awesome show.
I remember you always loving the band, but always hating David Lee Roth.
I never thought he was a very good vocalist. Awesome, probably the best frontman ever, but not the best vocalist.
Yeah, and I don't think you were a big fan of those buttless chaps either.
No, not a fan. No.
The girls dug it, but... Yeah, Dave is a handful. It worked live, but yeah, his vocals weren't great. I think Michael Anthony saved him in the vocal department a lot. Oh,
absolutely, yeah. Having those harmonies from Mike on the side, man. And then that was the Van Halen sound.
Right.
That was the signature vocals.
And every time we went, it was always sold out. The next show I remember going to, and it's online, the Diver Down Tour was in October, again at the Cap Center. Opening band was After the Fire. Remember them?
Yep.
Around. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's two shows we saw of them. I don't remember who went with us. I know a lot of us. Usually I drove a lot because I was one of the older group of all those kids. And some Harrisons could have came. I don't know if we had...
Maybe one of the O'Connors came.
Maybe. It's possible. Maybe if some of the Ullmans came. I don't know. I don't remember. Some of these are so this is so long ago. This is 1982. But it's cool. Danny and I were talking earlier, but this particular show we went to is online. You could tell it was taken.
The whole show.
It was taken from the feed. So the video is not perfect, but brought back a lot of memory, especially watching Little Guitars when he's Danny Van Halen's playing the little guitar. And it's pretty cool. Yep. And he's running across the stage and sliding on his knees, full speed slide.
Oh, yeah.
Looked like he's having a blast.
Yeah, and like you were saying about the show in Germany, there was a lot of that at the beginning of the show, too, where Eddie just starts playing when the lights go down and then you start hearing his guitar. Nobody's on stage, no lights on. You can tell he's just backstage, just kind of setting your face on fire for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
He never disappointed. Every time I saw him, I was never disappointed by him or the band. Always
no.
spot on perfect. Though I could have done without the bass solos by Michael. Even though Michael's terrific, love the guy, the bass solo is like, okay, whatever.
Well, he's always joked about, give me an effects pedal and I'll give you a bass solo.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, it was all special effects and stuff like that. It was never like, look at how fast I can play or any of that bullshit. Nobody wants to hear that.
Right.
You know, listen, I can play all the notes. You know, like, okay, great. I remember going to a G3 concert one time, and at the end of the show, I was like, damn, they played every note many times. Just,
but did they get the reaction? Van Halen show always got the reaction.
Oh, yeah, how can you not? They start Unchained. People go out of their minds.
Oh, yeah. Guys, girls, everybody. So I saw Dave three times. Did you see them on the 1984? Because I didn't.
84. Yes, I saw them.
Because I got
I think that must have been in Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Because you did see that.
Yeah.
I didn't. Do you remember who opened it all? Because I know you went to see the first Sammy tour, and BTO opened, and that was in August of 86. I know you saw it, but I didn't. I was gone from that area from that time.
Yep, I definitely saw that show, and that was so... It was a totally different experience, because you didn't have Dave. But it was still, you know, still Mike, Eddie, and Alex just... amazing. And the musicianship of the band went way up when Sammy joined. You know, the songs were more complex. The vocals were better. I mean, I've been listening to some of the stuff on the Van Halen Tribute Channel. And, you know, Sammy is way, way up there singing-wise. And it's just, wow. But, yeah, I saw that tour for sure.
It also helps when you have a rhythm guitar player there, too.
Oh, yeah. And he's great. I mean, he can solo. And he has said he can solo. He'd play as fast as Eddie. He just can't do it for the whole show. You know, one or two songs and he's done. You know, Eddie's wailing 2 hours into a show and he's still going.
And still smiling.
It's
like,
yeah.
Like, this is nothing. I'm the best.
You know, that's just it. You know, all these guitar players they look like they're concentrating so hard and they make it look like it's difficult and it's work. And then you see Eddie playing, and it's like, he's having a ball. He's like, this is nothing.
Yeah, and he's not always looking at the neck. He's looking out at people and connecting with everybody.
Yeah, and wailing at the same time.
And making it look easy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the same thing with Bruce Kulick making it look super easy. Nuno Betancourt making it look super easy, even though it's not.
You see him doing some of the solos off of Porno Graffiti, and... At one time, he starts joking around. He's just playing lightning fast, and he's like pretending to be yawning and falling asleep.
I think he does that all the time.
Yeah, he does. He does, but it's hilarious every time.
Going back to the concerts, you know what's funny? I can't remember ever seeing Van Halen with Sammy. I don't know if I did or not. I guess I didn't, because around the same area where Sammy was in the band, I was overseas in the military, and I didn't get to see them back then. Did you see them anymore with Sammy?
Yeah, I saw them one more tour. It must have been the OU8 1 and 2 tour.
You remember who opened?
Nope, I don't. I know there were like Bourgeois Tag opened one time.
Yeah, that must have been that, because the 86 tour was BTO. And I remember then they were called Bachman Turner Overweight. Because they were all big guys. Or over here. But it was Bachman Turner
Overweight. One of them was over 300 pounds. Easy.
Oh, yeah. So Bourgeois Tag is probably the band the next time you saw them on the 88 one.
Yeah. Yep.
They had a hit, one hit. I don't remember what it was.
I remember it was like a very minor hit, and I was thinking, okay, play that. Let's go. Get off.
Yeah. Same thing with After the Fire. They had the one song that we knew, and that's enough. Goodbye.
And, you know, you're thinking, Eddie Van Halen's in the house. What? Why are you even on stage? What is the point? I don't need to be warmed up.
Going back
at all.
Yeah. Going back to opening bands, they kind of had a history of not having the greatest opening bands, but I did some research. Remember the year we saw the Fair Warning tour and the Fools opened up? Do you know who opened up the second part of that tour?
No idea.
G-Force.
You're kidding.
With Gary Moore.
Gary Moore's band.
Yeah. We could have seen. Now, that would have been spectacular.
Oh, my God. Two of the top five guitarists in one show.
Right. It would have blown our minds. I mean, we saw Gary Moore in 83 with Def Leppard and Crocus, and we were blown away. But imagine seeing Gary Moore and then Eddie Van Halen in the same show. I was like, oh, my goodness. Really? Amazing. So, you saw Sammy twice.
Yep.
I don't recall at all, so I don't think I did. Next time, did you see them with Gary?
I did. I saw them at an outdoor shed in Charlotte. And I can't remember who opened. I know it was a fairly good band because I remember wanting to get there and see the opening band, but I don't remember who it was.
Was it Monster Magnet?
No.
Because when I saw them, it was Johnny Lang opening. He was an 18-year-old blues kid.
Yeah.
He was super good.
Oh, Johnny Lang's amazing. I don't remember who. I would need to go back and research who that was, but I definitely know it was outside. They had like a circus theme to their stage, and I remember Gary kind of flouncing around a little bit.
But Gary does that extreme.
Yeah, but they had these stairs that would go up the sides next to the drum riser, and he would kind of like bounce his arms. Kind of like, I'm showing Mark on our video, but he was like bouncing up like this, going up the stairs like a fairy. Like not like homosexual, but an actual fairy, like a little pixie or something.
Yeah, he does some odd stuff. He'll look between He'll look between his legs and look at the crowd, and he does silly things. He always has. I've seen him roll down the stairs, you know.
I love Gary Cherone. I remember when he was... when he was first announced, and Eddie was getting all kinds of crap online about it. And I remember you said, Gary's a great singer. He's going to be, he'll be a good addition to this band. And I remember Eddie just commenting back to you saying, thanks.
Yeah.
But that was way back in the day.
way back in the 90s. Yeah. What? I thought Gary worked. I saw them at the Glen Helen Blockbuster, San Bernardino, outdoor. It was Monster Magnet, Johnny Lang, and Van Halen. And the cool thing about Gary is, you know, he was a big Roth guy. So he'd play Roth stuff, Sammy stuff, and their stuff. So, because when you saw Sammy, he only played a little bit of Roth stuff. But with Gary, he played it all. So they were pulling out all these songs that they hadn't played forever.
And he sounded great on those songs.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Gary Cherone singing David Lee Roth. It was like Gary Cherone was singing those songs, but they were great.
Yeah.
It wasn't karaoke at all.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like Gary and the band too much because, you know, Van Halen 3 was experimental with Mike Post and no Michael Anthony backing vocals, and it was Eddie experimenting. So it was Eddie's experimental album, but he shouldn't have done it when you brought a brand new singer in. And then after a couple of years, Gary said, you know what, maybe this is not going to work. You know, he felt the heat from the fans, so he bowed out gracefully, but they all remained friends. I mean, it wasn't like terms.
It was an amicable divorce, but at that time they were thinking about getting Roth back in.
Yeah, and then it didn't happen. Then they brought Sammy back for a little bit, and Sammy left, and Dave came back eventually.
I did hear Dirty Water Dog today, and what a cool song!
Absolutely, there's some good stuff on there. Let's get the Uncle Al and Wolfie get back in there and go through that stuff and start releasing that stuff. The people want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reason's going to be, if they're even going to give a reason why they wouldn't do that, but can you imagine a box set of unreleased Van Halen stuff?
It's got to be better than that Gene Simmons 10 CD box set of unreleased stuff.
Oh, my God.
That was horrific. But
the vault.
Oh, horrible. I listened to a little bit. Look, awful. But
look, Van Halen. You need to stick with writing with Paul, okay?
You know what? Just give me. I wouldn't even go the box set route. Just give me 10 songs every couple years. Bring in Steve Lukather to help you if there needs to be a touch up here and there. Get some of the. You got three vocalists. The song sounds like Roth can do it. Have Roth sing on it. Have Sammy sing on one. Gary. And just put those out every couple of years. You know we'd buy it.
Oh, no question.
In a second. And on that note, you know what we should do? We should play a little Van Halen Rapid Fire.
Well, was that the last show you saw of them?
But yeah, that's the last time I saw them. Did you get to see them after Gary?
Yep. Yeah, I saw every incarnation of Van Halen.
Wow.
I saw them with Dave, with Wolfie playing bass on their reunion tour or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
That was fantastic. You know, I'm a huge Michael Anthony fan. I've got the hot sauce. I have a picture of myself with him at the Hard Rock Cafe in Philly.
And it's bass tech too, right?
Yeah. Him and Mike Dugan.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm a huge Michael Anthony fan. When people start saying he wasn't that good of a bass player, I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I dismiss him right then because he's fantastic. You know, and when you're in a band with Eddie Van Halen, you don't need a Billy Sheehan or you don't need a flashy guy playing bass. You just need somebody holding it down and every once in a while throw a bit of lightning in there, like in, oh, hell, what was that song? Girl Gone Bad.
Right.
Holy. No! Unbelievable. Listen to Girl Gone Bad and then tell me Michael's not a great bass player. But anyway, Wolfie was great too. And it was such a good show. I don't like the vaudeville aspect of David Lee Roth. You know, that kind of took away from it for me, you know. I don't need him with his special dance floor in the middle of the stage.
Oh, you saw that one.
Oh, the whole stage, and then there's this little, 8 by 10 foot piece of wood that he can dance on? No.
I can slide around. And his vocals weren't that great either, but people forgot. Oh. You know, people forgot he was never really that great live back in the day.
Yeah, if you watch some of those old shows, like the one that we saw from 82, he's joking around. Yeah, I forgot the words. Okay, you're the singer, dude. That's your job.
All you got to do.
Oh, just sing the song.
But even with all those screw-ups, it was still entertaining as hell. It worked.
Absolutely. Everybody was in on the joke. Everybody, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, how are you going to be serious singing some of those songs?
No.
You know, looking for a moonbeam? What does that mean?
Yeah, we've used Van Halen lyrics on some of the bits on our show, the intellectual poetry. Sammy's not a great lyricist. Dave is not a great lyricist. It was all about the band.
There are some of the Sammy songs that are really good lyrically, but then there are others like Pound Cake and
Up for Breakfast. Up for Breakfast.
Yeah, In and Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Sammy. It's not all about that. But then he writes things like Dreams, Why Can't This Be Love, you know, just... Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's some gems in there. Like, oh. Yeah, not all of them, but there are some gems for sure.
You know that's in you. Yeah. So, yeah, I was thinking about that when we were talking about doing this show, and I thought, I saw every incarnation of Van Halen.
Yeah, lucky dog, you.
Yeah.
I've seen every incarnation of Iron Maiden.
Ooh, hey, wait. Ooh. Oh, I never saw him with Blaze.
Hey, you didn't miss much. But we did get to see Paul, which was cool.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do the rapid fire here where we throw fire off three Van Halen questions at each other. We don't know what we're going to ask each other. So play along at home. There's going to be three questions each. See if you can get all six. So, Danny, how about you go first? You ask me a question first.
Okay. All right, I'll throw a softball out here for you.
All right.
Where were the Van Halen brothers born?
They were born in the Netherlands.
Yep. You know the city? Well, there's only one.
Amsterdam?
Yeah, there you go.
Which reminds me of a bad Van Halen song, Amsterdam.
Yeah.
That's not
wham,
a great.
Bam.
Yeah, wham, bam, bam, Amsterdam. That's a Sammy lyric. So.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oofa.
Well, this goes right into the question I was going to ask you. What language did the Van Halen brothers speak when they came over to the United States?
I'll say Dutch.
You'd be correct.
Yes. Yeah. That rules so hard.
Can you tell that we don't give each other the questions beforehand? Because so, yeah, that was too easy, right?
Well, we don't give the questions to each other, but you know, some of these are pretty easy. These get harder.
Right. Okay, go ahead. Let me see your harder
question. All right, question number two for you. What was Van Halen's first number one album on Billboard?
I'm going to say 1984.
You would be incorrect.
Ooh. Yep. How about Women and Children Close. First?
Nope.
Diver Down. Diver Down.
Nope.
Sammy's first album. What's that? 5150.
That's right.
I did not know that. Damn it.
Yep, their first number one album.
That is weird, isn't it?
It's not their bestseller, but it's the first time they went to number one.
I think the bestseller would be 1984, correct?
I think it's their first album.
You think so? I don't know. Well, I think they're both over 10.
When you get up that level, does it matter?
No. We didn't research that question, so who knows? Go look it up on your own.
Anybody that knows should own all of Van Halen albums. No question. So if there's an album you don't have because you think, it's not that good. No, you're wrong. Go out and buy it.
There's a gem on there somewhere.
Even Van Halen 3.
Even OU812.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some crap on there, but there's some brilliance on there too. So
even A Different Kind of Truth.
Yeah.
Great song. There's some great songs on there.
Because I've been listening to a lot of Van Halen the last, 4 days. Pop in my car, put Van Halen on shuffle. Something pops up like, oh, man, I forgot how good that song is. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's where, when I heard the other Girl Gone Bad, I was like, man, I haven't heard this in a long time. And I'm listening to it. I turned it way up.
Yeah.
The guitar. Well, guitar and everything they did was just. There were three albums by Van Halen that changed guitar, at least as far as I'm concerned. Of course, there was the first one.
Correct.
That everybody knows changed rock guitar forever. Then there was Fair Warning.
Right. The one with no hits on it, but the guitar work is unbelievable.
Oh, my God. They paid him. They got Eddie, because that was Eddie's album. And you can tell it is a monster on guitar. Unchained, just song after song, there's something new on the guitar. You know, that whole percussive bit that he did. Oh, my God. Just crazy. And then the last one I think that really changed guitar was For an Awful Carnal Knowledge. Just unbelievable, some of the stuff he did on there. It's like he raised the bar, did a few albums with some of the stuff that he was doing at the time, and then he raised the bar again. And it's just unreal.
And what people don't realize is there's a couple of guys that changed music because they built their guitars. Eddie Van Halen built his guitar. Same with Brian May. He built his guitar. So that's why those guys sound a little bit different than everybody else. Because, you know, they tweaked their instrument. They experimented with it and made it their own. That's why they have their own tone, their own sound.
That's why Eddie has the brown sound that everybody tries to emulate. Nobody can do it. But the thing is, there was an interview with Nuno. And he went into their rehearsal studio one time, and he's talking with Ed. This is when Gary was in the band. And Eddie said, hey, come play my rig. And, of course, Nuno's like, what? You know, because he's a huge Van Halen fan from forever. And so he goes up there and he says, I'm finally going to get the brown sound. I'm finally going to hear me play the brown sound. Nope. Because part of it is the amps and the setup and all that, but the rest of it's in his hands.
Correct.
Unless you're Eddie, you're not getting the brown sound.
Right. Yeah, even the guys in these Van Halen tribute bands, some of them sound pretty good, but it's not Eddie.
Yeah. There's just something about it. A little bit of tweak here and there, a little something.
Agreed.
Anyway, yeah. Question number two for me.
Okay, here you go. since you've been listening to the Sirius XM's Van Halen channel, you may have stumbled across a couple of things like, what is this being played on there? So here's your question. Okay, what rapper has Eddie Van Halen played with on their album? Okay, I'm going to give you four rappers. And Eddie Van Halen has played on this rapper's album. Is it Ice Cube, LL Cool J, Ice-T, or Eazy-E?
I got to say LL Cool J.
You'd be correct.
Yes.
Eddie Van Halen played on two LL Cool J songs. One of them is Not Leaving Tonight, and the other one is We're the Greatest. Between the two songs, listen to We're the Greatest, because it's obvious that it's Eddie Van Halen playing through the whole song.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that Eddie played, you know, it's obvious. Everybody knows he played on Beat It. He played the guitar solo. And Steve Lukather played the rest of the guitars on that song. But Eddie didn't want to be recognized. He didn't want to be known for playing that guitar solo. But when you listen to that guitar solo, there's not anybody on earth that could play that solo like that. So you instantly know, well, that's Eddie.
Yep.
You know, okay, you can be non-credited, but are you kidding? You're the man. You're the one doing that. There's no question.
Question for me.
All right. Question number three for you. Has Van Halen won any Grammys?
Good question. If they've won any Grammys, it'd have to be with Sammy. I'm going to say yes.
Yes, they have won. They have won a Grammy. Do you know what it was for?
No.
It was for Best Rock Performance on For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Well, at least the Grammys got that one right.
Yeah, exactly. That is an amazing album. And again, this is another one where Eddie raised the bar on guitar playing. You know, there's just so many songs on the album where there's a technique that that is new.
Right.
That there's this double-handed or quadruple-fingered tapping thing he does on one song. And he used the drill on another song. And just, he didn't use the drill to pick. He just used the drill as an effect to distort the sound.
Can you tell me who the first guitarist used the drill with picks? Came around the same time, too.
Oh, I know. It's Mr. Big.
Yep.
Paul Gilbert.
Yep. Yeah, Paul Gilbert put the picks on the drill, and him and Billy would play it that way. But
he and Billy both did it.
Yeah.
That is very fast picking, because they put three on there.
Yeah.
And as it's turning, you're hitting three times every revolution.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, question three for you. David Lee Roth's dad made a lot of money. Do you remember what his profession was?
David Lee Roth's dad.
Yeah, so he was the kid with money. Because Eddie's dad was a musician. I don't know what the mom did. But Mr. Roth made bank.
But didn't he own, like, sound systems?
No.
I don't know. I don't know that story.
Mr. Roth was an ophthalmologist. He was an eye surgeon.
Really?
So guys, remember when David Lee Roth got in the band, he got in the band because he had a sound system.
Right. He had the money.
He had the money, so he had it. So that's how he got in the band. Way to go, Dad.
You can be in the band if you bring your sound system.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked out perfectly. Even though Ted Templeman didn't think he was a very good vocalist and wanted to get rid of him recording the first album. And he wanted Sammy. He wanted Sammy.
He wanted the guy from the Montrose band.
Correct.
Because all those guys were huge Montrose fans from that album.
Yeah, but I think Dave worked with Van Halen. It just totally, the sound worked.
Well, that's what Ted Templeman said. He said, you know, after recording the album, and even when Dave left, Ted Templeman did not want Sammy at that point. He's like, it wouldn't be Van Halen. You can't do that.
Yeah, Kurt, but, I agree. Oh, I just came up with a bonus question. You ready for your bonus question?
Oh man, bonus question.
First Van Halen video on MTV that they actually made for MTV and it premiered it.
I gotta say that stupid Pretty Woman.
Correct.
Yeah, that was so terrible.
And way ahead of their time, because the girl turned out to be a dude.
Yeah. It was so terrible with Mike being a samurai guy and Eddie being a cowboy.
Total low budget.
Oh, yeah. They did it in their backyard, I bet.
Yeah. But it was, I enjoyed it. But yeah.
Total silliness, but yeah. So hey, who cares? They're Van Halen.
If you enjoy the show, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a review and rate the show. The more positive reviews we receive, the more listeners we can attract to the show. If you give us a 5-star rating, we will be sure to thank you on the show.
And what I'm going to do at the end of this show is I'm going to play a version of Happy Trails, which it's not the version on the album. It's done prior to that. And you can hear the guys talking to each other before it. And it's pretty cool because you can hear Ed talking, hear Mike talking. So man, I'll probably end this show with that.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to do this. So right now it's Sunday night, the 11th. So we're going to put this out tomorrow. I'm going to edit it tonight, throw it out there. So, and there's a lot of shows are doing Van Halen tributes. I figured, you know, our little show can do it too. Put it with our own little spin on things and we'll throw some.
Well, I mean, we're as big of fans as anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
But why wouldn't we have our own tribute show?
Absolutely. We just don't have like 500,000 downloads. So we have 120, which is fine.
I will say that, well, I have a signature model guitar and I have a signature model bass. I have the Geddy Lee Fender Jazz bass, which is by far my favorite bass. It's awesome. But then I also have the first version of the Ernie Ball Eddie Van Halen model.
Hold on to that thing.
Oh, well, it's already worth about, I don't know, $5,000 or so.
Wow.
But I actually got that. My wife and I were in the Guitar Center in L.A. And, you know, I'm over there playing a bunch of guitars, and I'm looking at this guitar. It's like a teal green. It's beautiful. It looks like looking into a pool of water. It's awesome. But I'm playing a bunch of guitars, and my wife's over there. Okay, if Eddie walks in, I'm buying this guitar. Mm-hmm. She says that to me, and I'm like, yeah. Okay. And then she asked the guy, does Eddie ever come in here? He goes, oh, yeah, he's in here all the time. He says he goes to his own area in his own room, but he comes in all the time. So I'm over there playing a guitar through an amp. It was probably like a Les Paul or something. And Dana goes, okay, ready to go. And she's got this guitar in her hand in a case. And I'm like, what did you do? And she said, I bought that guitar.
Wow.
Whoa.
That woman's a keeper.
That's why I married you right there.
And everybody listening is probably like, God, why couldn't I find a woman like that?
So the day I heard he died, I played that guitar for a couple hours.
And hold on to that guitar. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I've already been told by my oldest daughter that that needs to be bequeathed to her when I die.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. Of all my stuff, she wants that.
I don't blame her. I got more respect for her now just because of that.
Yeah. Well, she, this past week after she heard, because she was a Van Halen fan too, she knows what a big fan I was. She sent me a tattoo that she's going to get of Darth Vader playing a guitar. But in the tattoo, he's playing a Flying V, which makes sense. You know, that's kind of a radical guitar. But she's going to replace that guitar in the tattoo with this, with my guitar, with the teal green Van Halen model. So.
Didn't Van Halen also, I remember him playing an Explorer for a little bit with, you know, all the Van Halen markings all over. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. He played, there were two that I remember him playing. One had the Van Halen paint on it. The other was just like a wood grain. The really cool pictures you see of him playing Les Pauls, like a gold top Les Paul. Really cool. Then there's the guitar that's on the front of Women and Children First.
Right, that's where I remember. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the cutout and then the hardware holding it together, it looks like. And there's that one. Then, of course, all the Frankenstrats that he had. And the Tribute Channel had an interview with the guy that helped him build one of the first Kramer. Like, the Kramer was the first company to, like, create a replica of that guitar.
Right.
And he was talking about how he brought the first one into Ed, and he said, "Oh, great, let me play it." And he's like, "Oh, no, it's not set up. It's not even in tune. It's the action's really high. I don't want you to play it yet. I want to set it up and get it right for you." And he goes, "Ah, come on, give me the guitar." So he got it, and the guy was like blown away that he made it sound like Eddie Van Halen's playing the guitar. Even though it was completely not ready to be played. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That's when you know the guy's the deal.
He was the best.
Yeah. And can make a piece of shit sound like great.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good story. And yeah. I think on that note, we're going to play an unreleased version of Happy Trails. And after the show is over, share this show with other Van Halen fans and keep playing, keep that music alive. I'm going to continue to blast it in my car and annoy all my neighbors.
Oh, yeah. I had to go do some errands the evening when I heard that he died. I had the windows down, Blair and Van Halen. It was just, that's what's happening.
Yeah. Don't care what anybody else thinks. I have to play this loud. All right, everybody. Yep. Take care of yourselves. Let's hope 2021 is better than 2020 has been. And let's keep
this. I can't imagine it getting worse, but.
I can't either.
Who knows?
Maybe the Russians are going to be invading. That would make it worse. And take us over.
Well, I don't know.
Or the Chinese. That would make it worse.
That would probably make it worse, I guess. But, you know, losing Eddie Van Halen and Neil Peart.
God, two of the best musicians on the planet in the same year.
Yeah.
Awful.
Probably the two best at their instrument in the world. And you just, ugh.
Oh, crap. Is Billy Sheehan next?
Hey. You take that.
Oh, I know. Oof. I hope not.
God, there better not be a bass player on the list.
Okay. Let's end it on a happy note.
Happy trails.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
What else is left?
Insanity.
Hey, we know how to do heart. We know how to do a cappella of Happy Trails. When we're together, just sing a song and think about sunny weather.
Oh yeah.
1, 2, 3. Happy trails.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.